You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network. Search 76ers Podcast wherever you get your pods. What's up, 76ers pod people, and happy 7-6 day.
What is 7-6 day, and more importantly, what is summer 76?
Ah yes, a very pertinent question, and we'll pose it to 76ers Chief Marketing Officer, Katie O'Reilly.
This is our campaign to get our fans, get our city and our community excited and in the basketball mindset.
There's also this whole thing of basketball is back. In less than a month.
We'll discuss the details of the restart and what it means for the Sixers' title chances.
I'm Lauren Rosen.
I'm Devon Givens.
And I'm Brian Seltzer. May we now present to you this special 7-6 day edition of the broadcast. It is 7-6 day, July the 6th. Happy 7-6 day. And we're here. We're here to mark the occasion. Great to be chatting on the broadcast once again with two people who I speak with a lot separately, but not always together. Devon Givens from 97.5 and my partner in crime with the 76ers, Lauren Rosen. Happy, I guess we have to say it, happy 7-6 day, guys.
Happy 7-6 day to you both.
Happy 7-6 day. How are you celebrating, Celts?
You know, this is going to be an evolution. How do we celebrate 7-6 day? I hope 20, 30 years down the line, we'll all have our set rituals and routines in place for July the 6th, and we can reflect on a period where it was like, you know, remember that first 7-6 day? I didn't know what to do with myself or how to celebrate other than have something called a pod party, which I can't believe I used that name. I'm not sure if I really endorsed the pod party name, but why not? Why not have a pod party?
Why not have a pod party?
Sounds like a plan.
We do have other episodes from the 76ers Podcast Network premiering on this Monday, July the 6th. Tom's Talks, Tom McGinnis's podcast, which I have loved listening to over the course of the hiatus. He started about 2 months ago and has had some great guests. Probably his biggest one to date is Allen Iverson, and that episode is fresh out today. And Matt Murphy, our guy with the Delaware Bluecoats, he announces their games. He speaks to arguably the best player on the roster this year for the Bluecoats and one of the best players in the G League. That's saying a lot considering it was only Merrill Shayok's first season as a pro. So check out a new episode of Coat Check, the Delaware Bluecoats official podcast that's out on our 76ers Podcast Network feed on this Monday, the 6th of July as well. All right, we're going to get some more details on what 7-6 day is and what Summer 76 is from the Chief Marketing Officer of the Philadelphia 76ers, Katie O'Reilly, as well. But we get to talk about basketball now, Lauren and Devon. And I don't know about you guys, I have felt a little bit conflicted about when to begin working basketball talk back into my life, but we have hard dates, we have hard schedules, we know what's coming, and I think now's the time, right? We actually have the resumption of a season to look forward to.
I feel like I've taken this whole thing with a dose of cautious optimism, but as the days go by, the optimism rises, and I'm feeling pretty good about what's in store for this group.
I'll have to be honest with you both that I am not the one who had the cautious optimism. So I am happy that I was wrong and that things appear to be on the horizon with the Orlando bubble that is upon us late this month. So I'm excited. I'm starting to allow myself to really get into it, guys, because again, I wasn't really there, unsure with everything that's going on in our country and our world that this would even take place. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out. And now I'm starting to allow myself to believe it's going to happen.
What do you guys think of how the NBA has gone about putting the steps in place before we even talk about what it might mean for the 76ers? Just, I want to hear what you guys think about this return to play format with the 22 teams, with the potential play-in game for the 8 seed, all that stuff about how this has been conceptualized by the league over the last 2 months, 2.5, 3 months.
I thought with the 22 teams, I thought that was a bit much. I felt that while I understand the extra teams and what goes into it, allowing other teams that may not have had an opportunity if they just decided to come back right now, of course, to just throw the teams back out there on the floor, an opportunity to make the playoffs. I got it. I get it. I thought that if we were still talking about the safety and all, which they've done a fantastic job with, and I'll get into that, why not just go with the full 16, the regular playoff setting, and we would just get back to it. We talk about fairness and all, but this has been totally different. This is an unprecedented situation that we've been in. So I was a bit surprised that they actually went along with the 22-team format. But with that said, the transparency that we've at least gotten with all of the updates that we've received during this time of what they were trying to do, different type of scenarios to get the game back out there for, obviously, for the league, but for the fans as well, I think they've done a pretty good job of trying to give different options and ultimately coming up with Orlando on the bubble. I think they've done right by themselves and, of course, right by the fan base in presenting what they are going to present later in this month.
I totally hear you with trying to figure out how many teams should have been out there, Devon. For me, I say the more the merrier. I think, especially with everything that's going on, people staying home in so many cities across the country, what's a couple more teams getting an opportunity and a thousand or thousands more fans being able to root for their team? So for me, I think especially in the Western Conference, maybe less necessary in the East, but in the Western Conference, I don't want to go back without letting the Pelicans get a shot at this thing or letting Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers, who've been so hurt all season, get a shot at this thing. I think with them, if they had played out the rest of the regular season, we don't know for sure who would have made the playoffs. The East was a little bit more clear, but I like the fact that for the Western Conference, they're going to have the opportunity to really fight for those last couple of spots. And I think it'll be entertaining. I mean, I'm all for this weird summer league schedule type thing that we're going to get to see. It's certainly going to spice up the days a little bit. But like you said, I think the way that the league has handled this return, being transparent, giving players options, not punishing anyone for opting out if that's what's better for their families or for what's going on in their lives. I think overall, I'm pretty impressed with the way it's come together. And I just have my fingers crossed that they'll be able to bring it home and safely.
Listen, for something like this, there's no question that there could be revisionist history, armchair quarterbacking. Everyone probably has an opinion on how they might have done it if they were in a position to have influence on the final outcome. But the bottom line is, like what you guys have been saying, this is a scenario that's been so fluid since March 11th. At one point, I, like you guys, especially back in the middle of March, totally doubted whether or not we'd even see basketball again before this coming fall, or who knows longer than that. So I think everyone's going to be analyzing what tweaks could have been made here or adjustments there. But the bottom line is the league, I think, does deserve credit for the fact that it's gotten a plan together and it seems like an actionable plan. I mean, we've started to see pictures from Orlando of team-specific practice courts being laid down in the ballrooms of hotels at Walt Disney World Resort. So to me, that's stoking the excitement. But to circle back on the conversation of the teams and the format, I don't know if I have as much of an issue with the number of teams. I think that, like Lauren said, this is more of a Western Conference than Eastern Conference thing. I mean, the Wizards are very much on the outside looking in at the 8 seed. They'd have to make a big leap in just 8 games to catch Orlando. I'd love to see some of those teams that are nipping at the heels of the 8 spot in the Western Conference just kind of knock around each other for a little bit in those seeding games. But it's interesting because it's designed where Eastern Conference teams play Western Conference teams. You have, of course, your intra-conference games as well. But no doubt, I think in the West there's some young players that are exciting that are probably going to factor into who slides into that 8th spot out there.
And even when you guys present it that way, and while I totally get it, I think more for me it was about just the safety, as we were talking about. And while they've done a fantastic job with it and the protocol, the health and safety protocol, the 100-plus page health and safety protocol that they've put out there, they've done a tremendous job of making sure they cover every ground. They're going to miss something. It just happens, right? This is something that has never happened. There's something that's going to be missed. So for me, it was more about the health and safety of bringing extra people into the bubble, and let's just get on with the playoffs and start there. So I'm excited of the way you guys are also talking about. It's more like an NCAA tournament style, Celts, when you just mentioned that, giving these, Lauren, these extra Western Conference teams this opportunity and seeing what some of these young players, these young teams do. Are they going to spoil some seeding while they're out there for these games? Totally. You guys are totally right on that. So it was more for the health and safety. I'm all for more basketball. So let's make that clear right now. I am all for more basketball. It was more the health and safety concerns that I was worried about.
Yeah, and I think that's going to loom the whole time for me. Obviously, I'm excited to see basketball, but I agree. I mean, these are guys with families. The staffers that are going out there are also putting their health at risk. So my utmost hope is that everybody can stay safe, and it does feel like the league is doing what they can. And as long as the precautions are followed, I am excited to see what happens. I don't know about you guys, Celts, you mentioned seeing the pictures that came out of Orlando, the preparations that they're doing, and it looked like the practice courts that had been set up were the Miami court and the Indiana court. If I had shown you a picture a year ago of an official Miami Heat and Indiana Pacer court lined up right next to each other in a ballroom, what would you think was happening?
I would think, what bizarro universe are we living in? I think if you had shown me that again, like I said, 3 to 4 months ago almost, I would have said this is a bizarro world that we're living in. It is exciting, though. It is exciting. I can't deny that.
I would have thought of some sort of fan zone, sort of like an all-star situation where you allow the fans to take the floor of your favorite team and say, okay, that's pretty cool. They can't shoot because while it is a ballroom, the ceilings are kind of low. But that's what I would have thought of. Never would I expected it to be what we are dealing with right now.
So that brings us to the 76ers, the 76ers, the 76ers. What a curious case the 76ers are. Arguably one of the most intriguing, maybe the most intriguing relative to what they were when last we saw them, team heading down to the bubble in Orlando. That, of course, doing largely in part to the fact that Ben Simmons is now 100% healthy, according to him and Brett Brown last week. So that obviously is a huge boost for the Sixers. They finished the first phase of the regular season before the pandemic 39-26, sixth place in the East, equal in record to Indy. Indy currently holds the tiebreaker. Wouldn't you know, the first game the Sixers have on August the 1st is against the Indiana Pacers. What does this all mean for the 76ers?
Well, for me, when it comes to what it means for the team in general, is number one, with the health of Ben Simmons, it's huge. And so we jokingly, if you will, I jokingly, when we last did our broadcast inside the center on March 11th ahead of the Detroit Pistons game, I mentioned how, you know what, maybe a week or two is not so bad for Ben Simmons to rest up and have that back taken care of and heal up for the stretch run. Now we are 4 months later. His back, as we are now to understand, is, as he said, 100%. And that's a great thing. Because if you're going to go into a situation like this where it's more of a, again, a playoff scenario, round robin, a very weird thing here with the playoffs, I said this and I'll say it again. why not Philadelphia 76ers? Before the season started, there were high expectations. Did you expect the sixth seed? I did not. And now that they are back and healthy, like everyone else is, back and healthy with an opportunity to go out there on that floor in Orlando, inside that bubble, and to basically pick up where they left off, but with, again, a new sense of urgency, an understanding of what is in front of them, a healthy Ben Simmons, where you hope you can do the things that you wanted to do when the playoffs actually started in April, a more fit Ben Simmons with the added muscle that he spoke about. I think it bodes well for the 76ers to have Ben Simmons back. He is an all-star player in the Eastern Conference. He is a key, obviously a key contributor to this basketball team. And as far as they go with everyone else, the importance of Embiid, Harris, Horford, whomever, Simmons has to be out there and he has to be at his best at 100%.
I could not agree with you more, Devon. I think health, like head coach Brett Brown has been saying in his last couple availabilities, health is number one. And it has been a while since we had Ben and Joel healthy at the same time. Josh Richardson was out there for a while with his hamstring issue and then his concussion right before everything shut down. So to have this starting lineup, to have the stars all together and all healthy, is something we haven't seen in a while, and very rarely did we get to see it this season. So I think this is a pretty unique opportunity that we might not have seen otherwise to enter the home stretch fully healthy. And I don't know, I think the sky's kind of the limit for this group.
Listen, I think we would probably go for a good couple hours, perhaps even specifically on the subject of Ben Simmons, what his return means, what the different permutations of Sixers rotations and schemes could look like with him now fully healthy back in the fold. I think I want to keep this pod, this specific episode, as high level as we can for now, because we have to pace ourselves a little bit. There's going to be a few more weeks before the games actually start, and maybe next week or the week following, we can get into more granular and we can do maybe an offensive episode, a defensive episode, that sort of thing. So I don't want to cast aside diving deeper into the whole Ben Simmons storyline, but it also sounds like Brett's totally open to using Ben in more of a variety of ways, diversified ways, get him off the ball a bit. So I'm really excited to see, A, Ben Simmons healthy, and B, the continued evolution of how the 76ers use him. To something else that Brett Brown said, he had a media availability with reporters last week, and he put it that he feels the 76ers have a clean slate, deserve a clean slate, and that they've got as good a shot as anyone to push for a title. What say you two?
I couldn't agree with him more, right? This is what this team has been wanting all along. We set out last summer with the hopes that this team could win a championship. And if everybody's healthy, like we've been saying, there's no reason why that shouldn't happen. Glenn Robinson just got done with a media availability himself. He said the exact same thing. Obviously, last summer, he wasn't a part of this team. But in the short time that he's been here, he says that he feels the same way, that the sky's the limit, that this team could reasonably win this whole thing. And the talent's there, the health is there. Now we just got to see how they put it all together.
And certainly putting it together is very important, because the clean slate that Brett Brown is speaking of, it's not just the Sixers, it's the rest of the league. But when we forecast the season before the start of 19-20 campaign, the 76ers were at the top of the list for many people. So if there is a clean slate, having an opportunity to get a 65-game head start and look at some things Brett Brown speaking about, also having a look with his coaching staff and his players at what the team did well at home with the 29-2 record versus the 10-24 record, trying to figure out where they went wrong, if you will, on the road, figuring those things out and having a better understanding of, as he says, simply, I think I have a fix, if you will, to what the problem was. The clean slate is huge for this basketball team, to have everybody available, have everybody ready to go, and give this team a chance in a round robin of what we're about to have. It's exciting. It's exciting. And again, the 76ers do have just as good a chance in the Eastern Conference to make a lot of noise. And they've shown that they can beat anybody in the East and in the West. We just have to find out what team they are when we talk about this neutral setting in Orlando.
That's exactly what I was going to chime in on, Devon. You hit it on the head when you're talking about home record and away record and how great this team was at home and how much they struggled on the road. But when people talk about that as it relates to this hiatus, for me, I don't really consider this a home game or a road game for anyone. I think this neutral site is a total equalizer. We have no idea which teams are going to do the best in this type of environment and which teams are going to struggle the most. So I think it's really interesting. I think the whole home and away thing, while we were so great at home and it would have been wonderful to have playoff games at home, the away game thing kind of gets thrown out the window as well. So I'm excited to see what happens when everybody is sort of literally put in this bubble where the atmosphere is totally different from what any of them have played before, and we'll have to see who capitalizes on it the most.
There's really no way of knowing this. I wish there were, but there's not, of just how much the whole home road thing, especially on the road for the Sixers, just became a self-perpetuating prophecy, right? Like, there were some near misses there. They weren't fully healthy. I think there's something to it for sure. You can't have that much of a disparity and gloss over it and say it was nothing. But I kind of do wonder, especially right at the end before the hiatus happened, just how much of that kind of became a self-fulfilling situation with the team. They knew it was a monkey on their back, and who knows. But I agree. I mean, it's just like, we know the Sixers have a great bench spirit squad. We see it, you know, like first team all bench spirit, Norval Pell, first team all bench spirit, Kyle O'Quinn. Like, are these going to be the voices that you hear? Like a little trash talk from these guys? I don't know. I mean, that's like, I mean, the exhibition games might be, to me, as interesting as the first seeding games, right? Like, because that's going to be your first taste of how this could all start to work.
Celts, I think you're exactly right. I think among all NBA teams, we had some A1 celebrations on our bench this year. We had the pleasure of going back and watching some of our games with some of our guys over Zoom earlier in the hiatus. And one of the things we watched with almost all of them was a reaction to their bench reactions. And I think they all love and take pride in the reactions that they've been able to have, in the way that they support each other, and the camaraderie that they've built from the starters to the bench. I think that our bench celebrators are going to be on full display, and I think we can use them to our advantage.
Yeah, I'm here for Norval Pell, Kyle Quinn celebrations. They're tremendous. We've all talked to Norval Pell from his days with the Blue Coats and now the 76ers, and that guy is a lot of fun. And certainly celebrating and just being excited for what his teammates are doing. Kyle O'Quinn the same. Yeah, you know it. And the fact that, unfortunately, you know, we wish it were different, but the no fans in there, we'll get to see how these guys now really act with no fans behind them, where they have to entertain one another.
We've all spoken to Brett Brown at some point during this hiatus of NBA basketball, and especially recently it sounds like his two biggest points of emphasis, or what he thinks could be the biggest difference makers for the Sixers as far as their chances in this tournament run down in Orlando, is team fitness and team camaraderie and team chemistry. And he's very articulate on those subjects. I think he makes great points. It's like, hey, if you're out of shape, there's only so much you can expect to get out of someone in the 3 weeks before the games start. And if you're not in shape by then, well, then, you know, it's effectively too late. And then, of course, team chemistry and camaraderie is pivotal in a situation like this, because you are literally isolated with your group, your guys, and if you want to get to the finish line, you're going to have to get through together somehow. But what else? What are other needle-moving things besides those two factors that you guys are most intrigued by heading into the bubble play in Orlando? It could be something as big picture as Joel Embiid, or something more in between the margins, like what's the rotation going to look like behind Ben Simmons?
Yeah, one of the things that I focused on, to be honest with you, is Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And when Brett talks about the fitness base for his players and just being in phenomenal shape, starting out with the B-level fitness base, getting to ultimately the A. What I don't worry about Tobias Harris is that. What I do, I'm not going to say worry, but just more interested to see what role he now takes on his shoulders versus what we saw from him a season ago in the first round against the Brooklyn Nets and then ultimately the Toronto Raptors. Where's his role within this offense? How does he now thrive where you exit Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick and you insert Josh Richardson, Al Horford, and Tobias Harris, but Tobias Harris having a more larger role and a better understanding, if you will, of what his offensive production should look like within the 76ers offense. The second thing, guys, if you don't mind, is, in fact, Lauren, you mentioned it, the fact that we haven't really had a chance to see Simmons and Embiid at their best. I can't wait to see now with those two coming back and possibly being in very, very good shape and getting themselves into basketball shape once they start training camp, is the best of Simmons and Embiid in the playoffs. Because unfortunately, we have yet to see them together, whether it be injury or illness or whatever it might be. We haven't seen that. So in this new setting and the whole weirdness of this all, how about the first time we really get to see those two guys play together, play every game in each round together, and be confident in their abilities and lead their teams to wins? Those are two things that stand out for me.
I agree with what you said, especially about Tobias Harris. I mean, obviously, we don't know exactly what everyone's roles are going to look like with a fully healthy group. But something about Tobias that we seem to forget sometimes is just how reliable and durable he's been. He's played in more games than anyone else on this roster. He was the second highest scorer this season behind Joel. I think if there's one thing we can count on with Tobias Harris, it's that we can count on him to be consistent. And we'd hope that this situation will be no different. And what you said, Celts, about camaraderie, he's taken a leadership role yet again in this hiatus, making sure everybody is connected. My understanding is that he sort of leads the group chats and he speaks up on Zooms. And it's good to have someone like that that's a steady presence for everybody involved on and off the court.
All right. I love it. I feel like we're just starting to scratch the surface of subplots around the 76ers and their return to play. Like I said, we're keeping it mostly high level on this edition of the pod because we've got to get to Katie O'Reilly in just a few moments. One non-76ers related thing for each of you that you are most looking forward to following when it comes to the NBA returning to play in a matter of weeks.
Non-76ers. I might have to go with what I said at the beginning of this conversation, that Western Conference race for the playoffs. For those listeners who don't know, I grew up in Houston. I was a Rockets fan for the majority of my life. And so I was way more embedded in the Western Conference and the ins and outs there. And if you had told me that the Grizzlies were going to be fighting everybody off to keep their 8 seed at the beginning of this year, I don't know if I would have believed you, but that team is young, they're talented, and all the teams that are going to be fighting for their spot are going to be fighting hard. So for me, it's that Western Conference last seed, last spot, see who's going to take it and see how everything shakes out with their matchups. As interesting as the East is going to be, as crowded as the Eastern field is, I'm excited to look at the West.
Non-76ers for me, if we go with, like Lauren, you mentioned earlier, the health and safety of everything with fitness. So to be a little selfish, of course, I actually have family that will be participating in this tournament coming from the Western Conference in the Phoenix Suns with Mikal Bridges. So before this all happened, obviously with the work that I do to cover the 76ers and do this work with you guys, also I pay a close attention to the league, but I also have a vested interest in what the Phoenix Suns are doing. And they've had some ups, they've had some downs, but they are in this bubble now because the league wanted to give them a chance as a young team to experience what a playoff scenario, a playoff situation would look like. So I certainly want to see what they do as a group overall, but of course, selfishly, what he does out there in this new setting inside this bubble. And the other thing in general is the new atmosphere. I've never seen it before. I mean, I've played in plenty of basketball games, been in plenty of tournaments. Never have I seen it on this level of professional sports where we are going to now see this makeshift arena. And as you guys mentioned, the ballroom with all of these courts laid down with the floor of all these teams, the home floor. I cannot wait to see what this looks like. I really cannot.
For me, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference and I'm trying to play the game of what was and what might be. And you guys can tell me if I'm crazy. I look at what was and what might be and where there might be a slight change. I look at the Miami Heat and I wonder, are they going to be able to recapture what I thought a lot of people would have said was performance that exceeded expectations before the season went to a pause in March? I mean, they obviously have great defense. The zone really threw the Sixers off. That's kind of how they tripped on it in that game against the Sixers. But I kind of wonder about the Heat for some reason. Well, I guess those reasons, they have me thinking about them.
And with the Miami Heat, I agree with you, Celts. I mean, they've had some very, very successful games this year, certainly being in that fourth seed. But I agree with you where I'm curious to see, especially with young players in the playoffs, how they perform in this setting.
I think looking at this list of teams, there's almost no team that doesn't have an interesting storyline for us to watch. We've talked about the lower teams that are going to be jockeying for seeding, but then even with the top teams, I mean, there's an argument to be made for getting back into shape and using those last 8 games to really fine tune everything and make sure teams are ready for the playoffs. But what if some teams take the opposite approach? What if the Lakers or the Bucks allow their stars to have a little bit of rest? Maybe they drop a couple of those 8 games without losing where they are with the seeding. I mean, that could allow for a lot more movement down lower, depending on who's going full force and who might be taking it easy. There's stuff that we can't predict, and it's going to happen every day, and I'm really excited about it.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Tangible basketball talk. It's back. We can only keep our fingers crossed that everything continues to move smoothly as the league sets its target date for return in about 2.5-3 weeks. We now shift to someone who is intimately involved in helping curate and grow the 76ers brand. She is the chief marketing officer of the 76ers. It is great to have Katie O'Reilly on the broadcast. What is the significance, aside from the obvious numerals, of Monday, July 6th?
Great question. First of all, thank you for having me. Excited to be back on the pod to talk about basketball. It's been a while. Yes. So we are super excited. And Monday, besides the obvious, July 6th, 7-6, should be our world holiday, right? And for the first time probably ever, we actually will be able to talk about basketball because it's going to kick off our summer 7-6. So this is our campaign to get our fans, get our city and our community excited and in the basketball mindset. It will kick off a few weeks of really fun activations, some cool events, a lot of great stuff you'll see on social, incredible partner integration and activation to bring this to life. So get excited for July 6th.
I'm sure you guys don't want to give away spoilers or fully tease, but maybe a taste can give us a sampling of what fans can expect out there.
I'm happy to. I would love to give you a ton of spoilers. So we have a ton planned. You'll see our broadcast partners are both going to be involved. You'll see NBC Sports Philly and 97.5 the Fanatic doing a full day of Sixers programming, hosting sweepstakes. We have a bunch of marketing partners coming on board that some of them will be offering discounts for their products to our fans. Others will be running sweepstakes. So we have Upper Deck that's going to be running a sweepstakes. We have Kia that is hosting a virtual free throw challenge, and that will actually run through the entire month of July. We have Rothman Orthopedics that's coming on, and we'll be running a basketball clinic. Chick-fil-A is donating meals. I mean, literally the list goes on. Five Below will be doing a lot with our Junior 76ers platform, as they always do. Really, it's just everyone coming to life in a way that really hasn't been. So we are thrilled to have our partners come on board for this. They're obviously an extension of our brand, and they make it authentic and they make it real. And it's going to be fun. We'll be doing some fun stuff for our official Facebook group, our official fan Facebook group. We will be having a pod party. I don't want to steal your thunder, but we'll be doing some podcast stuff as
well.
We're
living it. It's right here.
So it's going to be all over. It's really great. We're super excited. I think one of the coolest things is we're going to have like a summer 7-6 playlist for fans to download. Just like, let's get everyone thinking 76ers basketball in the summer, which isn't something that usually happens.
Speaking of that pod party, we've heard a little bit from head coach Brett Brown over the last couple weeks about sort of what the basketball operations side of things is doing to prepare for this return to play. So if you don't mind, can you give us a little bit of a window into what the business side that's equally busy has been doing to get ready for what's to come?
Yes, it has been fun. It has been crazy. I think, you know, there's so many people who have been like, oh, no season. What have you guys been doing? Like taking time off. I'm like, we somehow our jobs like quadrupled because we've been preparing for so many different scenarios. So we were preparing for playing with fans, playing without fans, playing in Philadelphia, playing somewhere else. I mean, it's been a journey. We're excited to finally have a real plan and know what we are doing. But you know, I think the biggest thing over this hiatus has been, how are we still connecting with our fans, and how are we still engaging with our fans and making sure that the 76ers are top of mind, and they know that we're here and they know that we're in community. It's been like all about content, as you guys obviously know. So just trying to give folks an inside look and behind the scenes access to what's been going on. That's sort of been what's been external facing. And then of course, how can we in this incredible time of need in our community make sure that everyone knows the 76ers are here for them, whether it's to help and to be a resource, to be a voice, to amplify messages. That's really what it's been all about. And then I think that's what people have seen, you know, externally, and internally it's been preparing for scenario A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And we're excited that we finally landed on one and can focus on Orlando and returning to play on August 1st. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that? But it's been really fun. It's been a challenge. I think it's driven just, you know, the business side and our group to be that much more innovative and collaborative and focus on new ways to bring our brand to life, which is what we love.
And the return to play, of course, on August 1st, taking on the Indiana Pacers. Katie, what have you guys been able to come up with now that you speak of not knowing if you're going to be home, away? Now we know the permanent home is away for the time being. How will the fans be able to get involved where they are watching on television while the team is in Orlando for the 8 regular season games and hopefully a long run during the postseason? How can fans, have you guys come up with a plan to get the fans involved in game?
You got it. Hopefully a very long run this summer. It will definitely look different, but it's going to be great. Like, our goal is to make sure every game for our fans, no matter where they are, feels like 76ers game. There will be home and away teams, so we will have some games that we actually are the home team, and if you're watching our game on broadcast, it will look more familiar than not. We have some really cool digital and virtual opportunities that I think are going to be happening, whether it's obviously all through all of our social channels. You'll see us go way heavier on our social channels in game than we obviously usually do. So it's using IG Live, using Facebook Live. We have, you know, our official new Facebook fan group that folks can log into and have live discussions. We're going to hopefully have fans be able to like call in live. We're going to focus around a couple games, and not to like, you know, ruin another surprise, but we want to find opportunities to bring our fans together. So whether that is going to be drive-in watch parties, virtual watch parties, using our entertainment teams like to be in the city or to be at a location, it's going to be us going to the fans here in Philadelphia, really, versus our fans coming to us and then bringing that experience almost that much wider on our social channels. So it'll be pretty cool. We're working through all of these different ideas and logistics and things right now, but I think it'll be really fun to see. And we will just be that much more engaged socially with our fans and then do some really cool grassroots stuff and events. I'm excited. I think it'll be fun.
We can wrap it up on this, Katie. Obviously, a situation like a global pandemic, and it's not funny, that requires people to quarantine and self-isolate and detach from traditional means of human interactions, test the strength of bonds and relationships. What have you learned about, from things that you've been following, the dynamic, the relationship between the 76ers franchise and its fans during the last 3.5-4 months?
We've always known that we have the best fans in basketball. I would argue we have the best fans in the world. Philadelphia is the best sports town in the world. We're all biased. I grew up here, but it's true. And this has shown just that. I mean, 100%. If you even, you know, the loyalty we've seen, the engagement we've continued to see, the excitement about everything we're doing or posting or sharing, and then the excitement about basketball basketball coming back. It's amazing. Look, our job is to bring people together. That's what we do. That's what, you know, 76ers basketball, we are bringing a community together to have fun, to smile, to escape. That's our job. Like, we're creating lifetime memories. And so to be able to start to do that again is really exciting for us. And hopefully we've been doing it just in a different way. But I think all this has proven, even if you rewind back a couple of months when we released our Brotherly Love video with the four other teams, like the other teams in the market, just the way we've all come together and this community has come together. It's the best city and we have the best fans in the world. No doubt.
Amen. Katie O'Reilly, thanks for your time. Happy 7-6 day.
Oh, you too. Enjoy, everybody. It'll be fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
Drive-ins, activations around the city. Cannot wait. Awesome preview of what's to come the rest of this summer 76 from Katie O'Reilly. She is the chief marketing officer for the 76ers. That just about does it for this special 7-6 day edition of the broadcast. We really appreciate everyone who listened to not just this edition of the pod, but the other shows we rolled out today as a part of our 7-6 day pod party. Thanks particularly to Katie O'Reilly for joining the pod, and absolutely a thank you to you, Lauren Rosen, and you, Devon Givens. We are off and running. Basketball is on the horizon.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Really appreciate it. Great catching up with you guys.
Again, if you haven't checked them out yet, Tom McGinnis, Tom's Talks podcast with Allen Iverson, and the Coat Check podcast with Matt Murphy. He speaks with Mariel Shayok, also part of the 7-6 Day Pod Party. Give him a listen. I'm Brian Seltzer saying so long. Talk to you next time. See ya.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.